We're talking today with Brent Bolin, of course, a farmer from southeastern Oklahoma, a member of Oklahoma Farm Bureau. And Brent, you had the opportunity to be appointed by Oklahoma Farm Bureau about a year ago or so to a livestock working group for American Farm Bureau. Tell me maybe a little bit, first of all, about this actual effort, you know, the livestock working group, what they were all about.
Yeah, and I think it was about 6 months ago or so, and I'm not sure who really tasked the working group. I don't know if it was the national board or if it was a resolution from the delegate body, but there was a task put out there to develop working groups for each one of the animal species, poultry, cattle, and swine. And mainly, I think their task was to look at current policy and maybe any future policy that would that dealt with the things that have happened in the last 18 months, dealing with the pandemic and shutdowns and all those sorts of things. And I mean, our task was relatively clear at the start. The problem was is that the first 7 or 8, 10 meetings, I guess, we did on Zoom, and I don't think God intended us for us to do business on Zoom, because we really didn't get anything accomplished, in my opinion, until we met directly with each other, and that's what we just finalized in person in D.C. Our committee, or the poultry committee, with the one that I served on. And so, I guess when you don't know the folks, we didn't know any of the other producers that were on the working in my particular working group, or I didn't, and I didn't know any of the staff. And that made it really, really hard on Zoom meetings to try to get anything accomplished. I was nominated by Oklahoma Farm Bureau because they sent out a deal. And I think they tried to get some folks on the beef from Oklahoma, and I don't think that was accomplished. And I was kind of the lone Oklahoman to serve on the poultry group.
Now, you know, when you think about everything that's gone on, both in 2020 and now in 2021 within the livestock industry, and especially your end of the business, you're both in, you've got cattle as well as poultry, but on the poultry side of things, it's been tough.
It has been real tough. Let me back up a little bit. All the working groups had a few Zooms together with beef, pork, and kind of, hey, what's some of the things that everybody agrees on, no matter what species that you're a part of. And one of those was the labor issue. And I don't think I don't think anybody can argue about, the labor issue from the inception of the pandemic to what's currently happened with, getting folks back to work because the federal government's, paying them not to work, basically. So, I mean, that was across the board of, industry, no matter what sector of the industry you're in, that's been an issue. Of course, that's not just agriculture struggling with that, but the poultry side didn't have a resolution or a recommendation, because there's kind of going to be a blanket, I guess, thing, of what Farm Bureau's stance on that would be, come convention time.
When you think about some of the things that are specific to poultry, what were some things that the members of your subcommittee actually kind of chewed on and tried to work on?
I think the number one thing that we came to a consensus on is that be careful what you ask for from the federal government. And we hashed, discussed a lot of different things. Of course, we went over the current policy that's AFBF's current policy with a fine-tooth comb, and studied what each individual resolution says and, how's that working, how's it not working. But our consensus is be careful what you ask the federal government for and be careful what you want them to get in your business about. And, there's always devil in the details. And it was interesting to see, I guess, geographically, the differences among the producers. Of course, there was only, I think there was only three producers, poultry producers from around the country two brawler guys, and I'm one of them. And then the other guy was an egg guy, and I don't know if they had a couple more and they dropped off or what. But the final deal ended up with just three of us. But they kind of a broad spectrum from our three perspectives, I guess. But the number one deal, I guess, during the pandemic is some integrators that they grew for were having a hard time moving product, just like beef and pork was having a hard time moving product. So, guys had extended layouts between flocks, or even one guy, and then some folks around the country had to euthanize birds, and because it just wasn't a place to go with those birds. And so, all the challenges those guys had to face. And then, the extended layout, if the integrator didn't honor contracts, some of those guys are kind of just left without any forms of income for, periods of time. And then, just trying to get product moving back in the system for the last year. And then, of course, the labor shortage causing issues at plants and having to keep birds in the field longer. And, that turns around and impacts producers because, you got just all your costs just keep going up and birds staying in the field and you're really not making any more money, but your costs are still there. So, and then of course the normal, not pandemic related, but just the possible regulatory changes that could be coming down the pike and making sure we stay focused on, what comes out of this new administration, any kind of things that could be devastating there.
I guess what you mentioned, the Biden administration, they do have, of course, executive order that the president has issued regarding competition, and the poultry industry is, I think, very much a part of that USDA concepts that are going to be worked on by Mr. Vilsack and his folks.
Yep, and I guess that's one thing back to that consensus of our small group. And, of course, anything that we decide or we recommend for AFBF will be, ultimately decided. And we didn't come up with anything new in our working group. We changed some wording, I think, of some resolutions to make more clarity. And then we emphasized some things that are in current policy. And we didn't really take anything upon ourselves to develop a new direction or anything. We were just trying to. These are the things we want, brought out and kind of amplified. And but back to that, the Biden administration, some things sound really good in theory, but when it comes to where the rubber meets the road out here in the real world, that's where it gets. Sometimes it doesn't always work that way. And so, not all times do we like that top down. I'm here from the government, and I'm here to help you. It doesn't always work.
Yeah, really. This came up maybe even as you guys were even leaving town, I'm not sure, but USDA has finally announced this next round of CFAP money that is in the pipeline now, and they've got it now to where contract growers are eligible. Is that going to be helpful to folks like yourself?
Me personally, probably not. I was fortunate, and in our complex, and of course, it sometimes it depends on how your flocks fall. Even though they're using a 3-year, they're letting you go back 2 years. But the way our contract in my complex is written, we are guaranteed X amount of flocks under the contract. And so they compensated us to fulfill the contract. So in 2020, even though I laid out, they still compensated me for 4.5 flocks or whatever my contract says. So, but there are, some growers around the country that were just completely devastated by that because they didn't have those type of clauses in their contract, or, some of them did have to euthanize birds or just completely almost, just basically went out of business, or some of the little smaller integrators just lost market share completely because of it. And that CFAP money will sure, I think, help in that regard. And that was a discussion, I guess, from the early on in this deal. We didn't make any decisions or anything. We were just I guess Farm Bureau was kind of quizzing us about, you know, the direction. I guess some producers have been real frustrated that it's taken this long to get it, and it's taken this long to have a definition of what a contract brewery actually is. And so now FSA, you know, they finally have a definition of what a contract grower is. And just, you know, back to that government side of it, I mean, takes 18 months to get a definition of what a contract grower is when you and I could have come up, we could have come up with that in, over a cup of coffee, I believe. But anyway, back to that bureaucracy of the federal government, you know, how challenging something that simple is. But I think that now that contract growers are on the radar of FSA, that, you know, obviously that there'll probably be some, you know, other things coming down the pike for contract growers.
Right. Well, I just was going to ask about the commodity working groups. So basically, their work is going to be funneled toward, I guess, the resolutions process and policymaking process of the next AFBF convention, right?
Yes, that's correct. And back to the CFAP thing, I think I've got to brag on Farm Bureau, and Farm Bureau kind of being, in my mind, the only really voice for contract producers, and especially contract poultry producers, because we really don't have our own organization nationwide and even locally. I mean, it's just been a hard group to ever organize. I mean, contract growers are just, I don't know, just by nature, it's just hard to do. And of course, we're all busy, but Farm Bureau has been great about, you know, showcasing or helping us in any issue. And I think they help bring this CFAP money, you know, to the forefront. And so I think those guys lobbying for that, you know, because they heard it. And of course, I think Zippy Duval has some poultry growing history in his career, and may still be in the business. I'm not real sure, but anyway. And then I was fortunate to have Marla Peake, that they let her kind of come along. I guess each one of us that was on, I said there was three, there's four of us on that committee, on that working group. And one of them was the president of Arkansas Farm Bureau, and he was the national board liaison, basically. But anyway, each one of us got to have our own state folks, you know, sitting with us and kind of holding our hand and helping us along the way. And, you know, as far as any research or, you know, what does this definition mean? What, you know, can we get clarity here and that kind of deal? So anyway, I really want to brag on AFBF and, of course, our State Farm Bureau and its staff for helping, you know, work through some of those things.
Brent Boland from McCurtain County, southeastern Oklahoma, serving on an American Farm Bureau working group for livestock, specifically for the poultry industry and for poultry contracting, talking about some of the experiences he had at an in-person meeting in our nation's capital in recent days. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.